from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Yeah, vibes are weird today. What do you want from me, man? What do you want?
We're fighting through it, Kyle.
It's kind of a weird Friday.
It's a weird Friday.
But the thing is, that's the special thing about a Friday. If the vibes were weird on a Wednesday, so just to catch everybody up to speed, first of all, thank you for listening and welcome into the Friday edition of the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. That man right there is James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen.
Hello.
And we've got some Kings news to get to from this morning. We've got Trevor Lawrence getting a massive contract that paints a picture for what Brock Purdy's deal might look like. And of course, we've got the NBA Finals coming up. Game 4 tonight as well. Coverage beginning right here at ESPN 1320 at 4:30. But walk in today and we have a performance.
Yes.
In our office.
Exactly.
Today. So when we walked in, we've got signage up and tables are moved around and we've got speakers and a stage and all this stuff. It's really cool that Odyssey does this and that artists are willing to come in. I believe it's Wallows today.
Wallows.
We've had Teddy Swims in here. I had never heard of Teddy Swims. I am now a big Teddy Swims fan.
Yeah.
Unbelievable voice. Chris Daughtry was in here.
That's right.
So really cool that Odyssey sets these up and that these artists come in and play these small concerts. It's kind of like the Tiny Desk thing for NPR.
Okay.
It's a version of that. But anyways, it just kind of threw off the vibe because they've moved out tables and everything. We usually work at a table out there. So I had to work in Studio One today. That's where Jesse sits for D'Lo and Casey. And that already kind of throws things off because now I'm not in my normal space. I don't get to say hi to the same people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not my donut day. My donut day is payday Fridays, but I missed last week.
Yep.
So I probably should have gone and gotten donuts today. But I was like, you know what? James got it. James won't, but you ran into a traffic thing and then your donut spot
packed. Absolutely packed.
Brutal.
Like I drove up. I'm like, nope, I'm late. Can't do it. Out the door.
And first of all, let's stop there for a minute. Good on you. That's great work by you. Understanding the situation.
Oh yeah.
But also if you had called and been like, yo, I'm going to be pulling up right at showtime. Donut's going to be a while. I'd be like, all good, dog.
I was almost, you know, it's one of those moments where you're sitting there and you're looking at the line. You're like, I might be able to wait this out. But everything else was kind of like a bad flow to start the day. So I'm like, I probably shouldn't risk it. I pulled all the way up to the parking lot, all the way to the front door. I'm like, oh, no. And you know what's crazy is last Friday was National Donut Day.
Mm-hmm.
And they had balloons out. They had like five times as many donuts as there's ever in the place.
That's crazy.
This time, and it was empty. This time, it's not National Donut Day, but there's a huge line.
Brutal.
Brutal.
Anyways, so you came in. I saw you walk in. No donuts. And now I'm like, you got to be joking me. And then I had this whole thing where I'm trying to plan stuff for this weekend, and it was a whole mess. I don't want to get into that. But I planned a thing when there was supposed to be a different thing, and then so we had to move a different thing.
Oh.
And then I tried to move it back, and it was just a mess. We're good now. But anyways, the vibe was just didn't like it.
It was a weird vibe. The whole thing was a weird vibe. We felt it like the moment I walked in, I'm like, well, what's going on
here? Yeah, routine's all thrown off. And then you walked in and you were like, eh, vibes are off today.
Mm.
And I said, you know what? The vibes are off because it's a donut Friday and there's no pink box.
Nope.
Sitting out there on the table. Pause.
That's right.
So I went, hey, I am dropping what I'm doing. James, you've got the rundown. I'm on the donuts today. Let me pick up the slack for what I missed last week. And you were like, I got you. So went down there, pulled up to the donut spot. I had the same thing. There is a line. Because as you drive up, shout out to Baker Benz on Douglas. Shout out to Baker Benz. As I'm pulling up, you can see in the window. It's a building that's got windows all the way around it.
Yep.
And I can see just a crush of people in there. Like, oh no, I cannot go back empty handed. But I'm looking at him like, man, it's 9:30.
Uh-oh.
I can't go back empty handed, but also I can't be late for the show. So I go in there. I'm like, I'm just going to brave it. So I got open the door. Well, the man that was standing right at the door didn't need to be at the door. He had ordered. He was waiting on a coffee, something. He could have been out of the way. So I'm like, all right, that's fine. Turns out the other three people that were in line were together and paying by the time I got to the door. That left one person standing there, and she's ordering. And Baker Benz does a great job of having very well staffed. It is very rare that you're standing in line and waiting on to make an order. And so sure enough, I stood there for about 3 seconds behind this person. Somebody else walked out and said, what do you want? I got you. I said 18 donuts. I already knew in my head. I want three of those, two of each of those, which makes six. I got 15. I need two of those. I need one of those. Get me out the door. A new girl was at the register. She was learning how to do the register. But right through it.
Sweet. That's always scary.
Oh, bro. I was very concerned. And I did the tap to pay.
Oh.
And I was really, she was on it. The lady that helped me helped her. Bang, out the door. I'm here. We got donuts. We got a show. Whew. Man.
We made it, Kyle.
It was touch and go there for a while, but the vibes are back.
We made it.
The vibes on a Friday are back. If it had been a Wednesday, I don't know what we would have done to recover. And then to throw things off a little more, to throw a little bit of a wrench into the morning, not necessarily in a bad way, but I was all ready to come out at the top of this show and talk about the fact that Trevor Lawrence got a 5-year, $275 million deal with $142 million fully guaranteed.
That's a lot of money.
The third highest quarterback contract in the league behind Deshaun Watson and Joe Burrow.
Oh, okay.
But we can't talk about that. Well, we can, we will, and what this means for Brock Purdy. But you hit me with some news that you hit Twitter with first.
Yeah, like as I was pulling in the parking lot.
That we have a number change for the Kings.
We do. We have a gigantic number change.
Maybe this is the second biggest number change.
Yes.
Possible. If De'Aaron Fox had changed his number, it would have been seismic. But this is right up there.
Yeah. So Domantas Sabonis is switching to number 11 from number 10. This is the number that his father wore. It's the number that he wore with the Indiana Pacers. It's not the number he wore with the Oklahoma City Thunder, which might be for a different reason. I didn't go back and look. but in order to get access to number 11, the Kings and Domantas Sabonis had to reach out to the family of Bob Davies, because number 11 is already retired and in the rafters of Golden One Center, legendary scorer Bob Davies.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to get permission. My siblings so proud of our father and everything he accomplished throughout his legendary NBA career, said Bob Davies' daughter, Cammy Davies Keck. He was a great influence on our family, as well as many young aspiring athletes. He was definitely a man of character. Given the Sabonis family legacy connection, the Sabonis family special connection to number 11, we thought it was fitting to share our dad's number with Domantas and wish him much success. We are thankful to the Kings organization and fans for the continued support.
All right.
Yeah.
Good for them. And shout out. I love that that's the attitude there. And not like, no, never. I feel like if my jersey got retired and a good player wanted to wear it, like, absolutely.
I think it depends. Like, for, like, again, Bob Davies, you know, he played a long time ago. And, you know, 1949 to 1955, right? So, mm-hmm. I could see a family saying, hey, look, we would really, really love for his legacy to still be there. And it will be. It will still be in the rafters.
Yeah.
I also, like, I feel like a Ring of Honor is more appropriate than retiring a jersey number.
I think I agree.
Because at some point, you're going to run out of, if you're a storied franchise, you're going to run out of numbers, and you don't want to be disrespectful. And I also feel like there should come a point where, you know, like Vlade Divac and I think, let's see, Chris Webber, mm-hmm. and I think Peja all have their number retired. Mm-hmm. I think Peja does. I know Vlade and Webber for sure. But I also feel like in a Ring of Honor, like Mike Bibby, Doug Christie, Bobby Jackson, they could all have their numbers retired as well. And I think that there should be, there's a level that you need to achieve in order mm-hmm. to be in a Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
But I also feel like, you know, like DeMarcus Cousins could be in a Ring of Honor.
Sure.
He's somebody that spent 6.5 years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of like of that mindset that retiring numbers is cool and having your number lifted to the rafters is cool. But I still think that the number can be alive and you know, be in circulation for a team.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. The 49ers are running into this where they've retired so many numbers that Frank Gore's number is de facto retired. They haven't officially retired 21, but nobody has worn it since Frank Gore left after 2014. But like Joe Staley, who had as much of an impact as Frank Gore, they gave away his 74 like the year he retired.
Oh.
The very next year somebody was in 74. So, but the Niners are having that issue where they're kind of just running out. It's like you got to have an X amount of number. You got 53 dudes on your roster plus practice squad.
Yeah.
And there's certain players that have to wear certain digits. Like at some point you got to stop retiring. So I'm with you. I think that's the move. Inez Kanter, now Inez Freedom, was wearing number 11 when Domantas Sabonis got to the Thunder in 2016-17. Nobody wore number 10 though. So I would be interested to know why he chose number 3. But you're right. He wore that number with the Pacers, wore number 11 as the number he wore in college, and now he will do that for the Kings. I think it's great. I am such a it stinks for people who have their number 10 Sabonis jerseys, but hey, you get to get a new one if you're into that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's this is honor. So I am a big football number guy. Where if your jersey number is a certain number at a certain position, I'm like, yeah. If you're wearing 45 as a running back, it's like, yeah, you got no chance.
Mm.
Like you're just, yeah, you're a practice squad guy for sure.
Okay.
If you're wearing 25 as a running back, yeah, you're in a better spot. But it's like Marlon Humphrey. I think Marlon Humphrey wears like 46 or something. He wears a very odd number for a cornerback.
Yeah,
but he wears it because of his dad. And that's a win every time.
Okay.
Sorry, he wears 44. And he wears it because of his dad. It's like, that's great. If you're gonna rock a jersey number like that, and I think this is great for Sabonis, 10 and 11, both really strong basketball numbers. And he honors his pops with that move. And if you're the Davies family, you're looking and going, man, this is a guy who's on track to go to the Hall of Fame, plays 82 games or 80 games or whatever it is, however many he plays, he's gonna play him hard as hell. And if there's going to be a person who's going to come through and represent this jersey and what it means to our family and to the Kings franchise, this is the kind of guy who's going to do it.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, this is great all the way around. Really cool.
Yeah, Rochester Royals great Bob Davies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's cool.
Really, really cool. So, if you're thinking about getting a Domas jersey, wait until the number 11s come out.
I think they're already rolling in.
They probably should be. All right, we got NBA finals to get to. We'll keep talking about this Domantas Sabonis stuff as well. And then Trevor Lawrence got paid. What does that mean for the 49ers and Brock Purdy? Plus, a little at 11:30, we'll have Mark Jones, Sacramento Kings broadcaster. He is set to join us in that final segment. So stick around. Got a fun show on a Friday. Vibes are back. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. The Vibes are back. We will be back shortly. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Game 4 of the NBA Finals is tonight. I'm Kyle Madsen. He's James Hamm. And, dude, the series is over, man. I know that that's a bad job by me. I know that we should be sitting here like, all right, how do the Mavs get back in this series? Everybody tap in tonight. But no, tap in tonight because you're probably going to see the end of one of the most dominant playoff runs that we will see in a while. The Celtics are awesome, dude. They're so good.
You're either watching the last game of the NBA Finals or the second to the last game of the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
Like, we could see the gentleman sweep here. Mm-hmm. We maybe
a true gentleman sweep. Thank you for getting that right.
Yeah, maybe we see something like a revitalized Dallas Mavericks team for one night. I just don't buy it. I'm with you. The Mavs appear to be cooked. The Celtics appear to be the grandmaster chef here that knows exactly how to grill this thing up. Like there's nothing they can do. I found it interesting today, Kyle. The conversation is now shifting to like, oh, is this, you know, the Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum conversation? Maybe it's been overthought this whole time. Maybe it's not a Batman and Robin situation. Maybe it's a Batman and Batman or Batman and Superman. And I'm like, okay, I get that. We're talking two superheroes. Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah.
But like, I'm not ready to anoint them as like some of the top tier superheroes. So like, I think they're close.
That's kind of interesting. I feel like, are we going just DC with this? Or are we going Marvel as well?
I think we have to go Marvel because I just think it's a better brand.
Sure. Okay. No. That's fine. I know there are people who are going to disagree with that, but. I'm with you. I'm more familiar with Marvel. I'm not a comic book guy. I saw the movies though.
Okay, yeah.
So that's where they don't feel like Iron Man and Captain America, where those are not, that's not to say they're the two best, but they were kind of the main.
Yes.
In that first major Marvel story arc, Marvel Cinematic Universe story arc, they were the two main dudes.
Yep.
So I don't feel like they're that.
They don't feel like the guys that are going to get their own movie. And if they do, it will go straight to Disney Plus.
Hmm.
That's kind of where, like,
I don't want to be like, disrespectful.
As a series.
I don't want to. Go ahead. Sorry.
I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that they can. Hawkeye.
No, dude. Hawkeye is more of the Derek White to me.
Okay, maybe.
They are, dude, come on.
I'm just saying.
Hawkeye
has his own series.
Yeah. Disappeared at a key spot in the movies.
Yeah.
And he's fine. I'm not trying to diss Hawkeye, but Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are way above that.
Okay, but how far above that? Because they're not like Spider-Man.
I think that plays. I think Spider-Man plays.
Okay.
I think that's strong.
They're a step below like the Hulk and Thor.
No, I think Thor probably plays too.
I don't think so, man. Thor's got like three or four movies.
Yeah, and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have been in deep playoff runs three or four times.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, I'm with you though. There's not, and I think that's what's so fascinating about the Celtics team for me is it's not, hey, here's the clear cut one, and here's the clear cut two. And then it's everybody else. Because you've got people right now who are looking at Tatum and Brown and they're going, hey, they're both playing pretty well, but what about Drew Holiday for MVP? Is Drew Holiday, on Basketball Reference, has a plus 49 net rating.
Oh,
in this series.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal.
Jason Tatum's minus 10. He has a 96 offensive rating according to Basketball Reference. That can't be right. There's no way. Whatever calculation they're doing can't be right.
It might be right. I don't know.
There's no way.
I defer to the NBA's.
Yes. Yeah.
So, and I haven't looked it up, but
I'm looking right now.
Okay.
Advanced.
That's tough.
Yeah, man. I just, this is a fascinating team because of that. And I think that the NBA has been so star-driven for so long that the first thing we do when we see a good team is we go, all right, who's the top guy? Who's the top dog? Who is he?
Yep.
It's his team. This is his championship. Michael Jordan won all those championships for the Bulls. Steph Curry and Kevin Durant won those championships for the Warriors. Shaq won championships for the Lakers, and then Kobe won them for the Lakers. Like, we always have the top guy in mind, and I think that's where so much of the discussion or so much of the discourse starts with the Celtics, because you can't pick that guy. And because of that, it's like, oh, well, then obviously neither guy is good enough to be the dude. But I think they're playing in a system and with a group of players that doesn't require anybody to be that, much less Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum.
I mean, I also think that there's a point where you're defined as that dude because you do something in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And because the Celtics are so much better than everyone else, there hasn't been that moment. And,
yeah,
and so there is no like, oh, you're a clutch. You hit this, and this. Or, you know, your team is down and you scored 14 points in the fourth quarter to bring the team back to win the game. There hasn't been that moment. It hasn't been all the way throughout the playoffs. Again, this is a very, very dominant playoff run. I mean, they have a very good opportunity to go like 16-2. And that just shows you like their greatness, also the weakness of the Eastern Conference. And I know like Jason Tatum mentioned that, you know, oh, well, you know, you guys are just going to talk about that we didn't play anybody. I disagree with that. Like if you win a championship right here, like you deserved it. It doesn't matter. This is who you ended up battling in the finals. You have no say in who gets hurt and who you play in round 1, 2, 3. You got a little bit of say in who you play in round one because you're the number one seed and you're way up at the top and you're going to play the worst team that makes the playoffs. But for me, this is like a special team. It is. It's a very, very, very good team. And if they do this again next year or the year after that, they can be a great team.
Yes.
In a one moment, one season like window, they are a great team. But in order to like have a lasting legacy here, you almost want to see it for 2 to 3 years where they show that this, not that it's a one-off, but that they have that staying power.
So I think that right there is what's going to define this championship for them. Because if this is it, if this is the only one that the Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown Celtics win, I wouldn't bet on it being that, but if it is, I think this team is going to kind of go down like the 04 Pistons? Where that was a dominant ass team. They were awesome. But nobody really remembers them because they won one.
Yeah.
And they're just, they were the Pistons. They beat the heck out of everybody, including the Lakers, and won the finals in 5. But meh, it's like Rip Hamilton and Chauncey Billups and Rasheed Wallace and Ben Wallace. It's like, okay, they're good. And if this Boston team winds up winning one, I think they're going to kind of fall in that bucket. Like, that was a good team, huh? But if they go win 2 or 3,
yeah.
Now we're talking about, hey, what would they look like against the 17 Warriors? What would they look like against the 96 Bulls?
Yep.
And this kind of just feels like a jumping off point. As for who the dude is going to be, I guess whoever closes the series out. Like if Jason Tatum comes out and has 35 tonight and wins finals MVP, and they win the game and he wins finals MVP. It's like, look, Jason Tatum's that dude. Jaylen Brown, really good, but Jason Tatum's the one. If Jaylen Brown comes out and has 40 tonight, and Jason Tatum has 22 and 10 and 9, okay, this is Jaylen Brown's team. And all the while, they're just going to be like, all right.
Who cares?
We'll just go win another one next year.
How about we got a ring and that's all that matters?
Exactly.
I like that approach, the we got a ring.
Yeah, man. I'm with you.
Yeah, we're here to win. We're not here to worry about what you guys want to put like how you want to label us. And that's fine with me.
Yeah, dude, same. That's how it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about it. We're going to have our discourse in, you know, us as fans and media. We're going to have discourse about who's the 1A and whose team is this and is this guy elite or is that guy elite, whatever conversation is. But in that locker room, if everybody's mindset is like, yeah, as long as we win this title, then fine.
Yep.
Like that's what leads me to believe that this isn't going to be their only one.
I agree.
Yeah, I think the Celtics are in a good spot. Game 4, Celtics-Mavericks. I know we talked all about the Celtics there. We'll get to the Mavs when we get to our keys to victory. But there's just not a lot to say about them at this point. And this has been all Celtics for the first 3 games. And I think it's probably going to be all Celtics in the 4th game. And that's why much of this conversation was around the team leading 3-0 instead of the team that's down 3-0. But we'll talk about the Mavs. We'll talk about the Celtics. We got 3 keys to victory coming up as well. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. This is ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
8.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
He's James, I'm Kyle. Special guest coming up, Jesse Tapia, the producer for D'Lo and KC, our in-house Celtics fan. We'll get him in here shortly and get his thoughts on Game 4 in the series, just overall. James, typically I like to go to you first before I go to the phones.
Oh.
But I'm going to go to the phones first here.
Okay. Well,
because
I don't care.
Okay, I just want you to know that I'm not trying to
big time.
Yeah, no. It's just it's time for everybody's favorite segment, Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, what's going on?
Kyle, James, happy Friday. Thank God.
Happy Friday, Mitch. We made it.
Every day is Friday for me.
I was gonna say you're retired. You're retired. Why are you celebrating Friday?
Actually, I forget about that. I forget. I wish I had your job. Hey, I'm sure Jesse's gonna have a hard time getting to the door because you know it's. He's big on those Celtics. I don't know if he can fit through the door, but he's behind money because Mass Merchants just go home. I think Tatum's their best player. Maybe you could say Holiday's a Hall of Fame. I love these siblings. Three or more in sport same time. That's fantastic. That's awesome. And what is Sabonis? Well, who do you think you are? Get over yourself. You can't have 11. That's it. There's 99 other numbers you can have. Oh, excuse me, 98. Or you can have 0, 0, 0. I mean, that's just ridiculous. And it's, with the quarterback money, it's out of hand.
I agree with you.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Mitch.
Momo, there we go.
Appreciate you.
Have a nice one.
Talk to you later, Mitch.
You have a hard time fitting through the door because your head's so big about the Celtics?
What do you mean?
That's what Mitch just said.
I guess. I mean,
you're feeling it right now. I'm pretty happy. You have been from the jump, though.
Yeah, no, I've been pretty confident about this series and stuff like that. I was getting irritated when people were like Celtics and six, Celtics and six. Like, no.
Jesse Tapia, producer for D'Lo and KC, in the building right now. yeah. What did James say? Like 9 people on the ESPN panel picking Mavs.
9 out of 17.
More people pick the Mavs than pick the Celtics.
I
don't get it.
I think it's just a matter of they were just expecting the Celtics to fold at some point. Like, just
was there
2 years or whatever.
Was that a concern for you?
Not this year. I feel like a lot of the things, like during the regular season when they're in clutch time, it's like, okay, no, now it's different. Now they're just not hosting threes. Now they're giving it to Porzingis in the paint or whatever, mm-hmm. and he's dishing it out. And it's opening up more. It's not just that, I don't know, that ridiculous Celtics basketball that we've seen for the last 5 years or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, I didn't really have any. No, I didn't think it was going to happen this year.
Yeah.
They were too good this year, I think.
For me, it's not just that they're so good. It's that you're kind of seeing guys reach the right maturity level. And I think that that's what it comes down to. Like, winning a championship is extremely difficult. And you have to get to a certain point in your career where you're comfortable with who you are. And you're not concerned about this whole, who's a better player and all that stuff. You have to, like, grow through that. And I think this is the right time for the Celtics.
Yeah, because you look at Tatum, maybe last year, even the year before, like against the Warriors or whatever. If he's getting locked up or however they're guarding him, he's taking mm-hmm. those shots still. Like, yeah. this series hasn't shot well, besides Game 3. Or even then, Game 3 wasn't great. But, like, he's finding the open players. He's finding Derek White in the corner and all that.
Yeah.
Like, now he's making the right play, finally.
He's still putting up some tough shots every once in a while. Mm-hmm.
Like, you just got to take that.
He'll get in that ISO with, like, from, like, 18, and you're going, he's going to pull up with a hand in his face. This is not a good shot.
Once he takes 3 dribbles and it's about 5 seconds off the shot clock, it's like, yeah, he's going to take this 3 if he makes it, cool. If not, whatever.
Yeah, man, that's been a huge improvement for him, for me. Because in the 22 finals, I was watching this, and I tweeted about it. I was like, Jaylen Brown's their best player. Mm-hmm. Like, this is crazy. He is just so much more prepared for this spot. But I think you see the fact that Tatum learned a lot from that last finals experience. Who would you vote for MVP right now?
Jaylen Brown.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he's been more consistent. Like, Tatum's played fine, but just Jaylen Brown, he's hit the tough shots. Like, he has the moments in the series, too, I think.
Yeah.
So I'd give it to him.
Right, if now. Drew Holiday wins MVP, I'm going to punt something.
Yeah, if he wins MVP, it's like... Like, get over yourselves, just, please. Dude, like, we don't need to overdo this. Like, it's Jaylen Brown. Like, just get over, like, just fine. It's simple. It doesn't need to be Drew Holiday because he played defense. Like, I love Drew. Yeah. It's Jaylen Brown, maybe Tatum if he goes for, like, 50 tonight or something.
Yeah.
And that would be the moment where, the conversation would have to shift. Is Drew Holiday the reason why they went out and got a Bucks star to help them get over the hump?
How much need Tatum at that point? Jason Tatum need? I figured in my mind the series ends tonight.
I think so. I think it's a blowout tonight.
Yeah, maybe the Mavs have something and the Celtics take their foot off the gas and it ends up being in 5. But I wanted to get you on here to talk about the series just before it was over.
Yeah.
So thanks for dropping in, man.
All right, I'll see you guys later.
Yeah, all right,
man.
Jesse Tapia, D'Lo and Casey's producer. He will be with you from noon to 4, right here on ESPN 1320, and then at 4:30. Well, at 4, it'll be me and James on pregame.
Okay.
For game 4 of the finals. That's you and me, FYI. And then 4:30 is when coverage starts.
Okay. I'm
so
here
stay
for it.
In. You're home for the NBA finals. ESPN 1320. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. If you want to join the program, Don, you're on the Insiders. What's up? Hey, Don.
Oh.
Dang.
We lost.
Cold game. We lost
cold game.
Don.
I guess.
Don, call back.
I guess they don't know that Don is a thing.
I know. I should probably stop doing that bit if it's like a new number I don't recognize or a new name I don't recognize.
That's funny.
Because that's just if you're on the radio or if you're on the phone waiting and you just hear somebody say Don, because they can hear the radio.
Okay.
So they don't know that necessarily that I'm talking to them.
Oh, that's funny.
Anyways, if you were just trying to call back, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Let's loop the Kings back into the conversation here. Sean Cunningham from Fox 40, friend of the program and co-host of the Kings Beat podcast, which you can get wherever you get your podcast. James is on that podcast as well as Brandon Nunes. He had an update on Sasha Vezenkov today. What did you see?
Yeah, so according to Sean, I think this came out yesterday afternoon, while Sasha Vezenkov remains frustrated with his lack of playing time in his first NBA season with the Sacramento Kings, I'm told by several sources that there is no truth to the report of his desire to leave the NBA. One source close to Vezenkov called the report, quote unquote, off base, and that he will honor his contract. Sean has also been told the Kings want to keep him, but there's also a market for him, Sacramento, or perhaps another team that offers a larger rotational role remains to be seen.
Hmm. So this sounds to me like he just wants to be traded. Like, he'll honor his contract. If he's in Sacramento, if they don't trade him, he's going to play. He's not going to quit. But this reads to me, and maybe I'm off base, if you're taking the two reports initially, which the first one said that he told the Kings that he's out, and then there was another one that said the Kings told him he's out. But if you take those things and you try and kind of parse them down and tie in what Sean reported today, mm-hmm. that sounds to me like the Kings or Sasha went to the Kings or the Kings went to Sasha. They came together to discuss his role moving forward, and he went, man, if I'm not going to be in the rotation, I want to be somewhere where I'm going to play. And the Kings said, okay, we'll try and facilitate that, but we can't guarantee anything. That's what this sounds like to me.
Yeah, okay, so like just breaking it down, there's a couple of different pieces to this, right? So the fact that he wants to stay in the NBA, that's no question, because at the end of the year, when we had our exit interviews, Sasha was very clear. He didn't have any regrets.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he thought he made the right decision coming to the NBA. And if you want to be, you know, if you're playing in Europe and you want to test yourself and say, am I good enough to be mm-hmm. play with the best of the best, then you want to go to the NBA.
Sure.
And the fact that, like, again, I know some people out there would, like, be shocked by this, but the fact that he played 12.2 minutes per game over 40-something games,
mm-hmm.
like, he played in the NBA. He averaged almost 6 points a game in 12 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
He proved that he can score. He proved that he can shoot. To me, he proved he's a better defender than people thought. He's a better rebounder than people thought. Like, there's a lot of things that I think that he looked good doing,
mm-hmm.
but you also are looking at a guy who's considered a superstar in Europe, comes to, you know, Sacramento,
mm-hmm.
and you're at, you know, one of the NBA's outposts that's developing and building and all that stuff, but at the same time, a place that, you know, not a lot of free agents have come to for years and years, for decades. And I get it. Like, you're here, you're lonely. Things didn't go that well. You didn't get the playing time that you thought you might get. And again, if the Kings come back with the run it back mentality again, I don't think things change. If they switch up the roster a bunch, okay. Like, I see a place where he can totally fit. It is very reliant on what else happens here.
Exactly.
It's not, and like, they could trade him and act like he's going to a better place for more rotational minutes,
mm-hmm.
and he can get there and not play and have the same exact experience.
Yeah.
And then he'll go back to Europe next year, and it is what it is. So I'm intrigued to see how this plays out, but I also, that's why we always have to be cautious with reports coming out mm-hmm. of Europe, because those two reports were very, very different.
Yeah.
And the one that people say, oh, that's not true, that one very specifically was before the other one.
Mm-hmm.
So one is reactionary to the other report.
Yeah.
So it's at least intriguing, and I think we're going to know a whole lot more in like 2 weeks. Like, that's where we're at. We're super close.
Yeah.
Like, this thing is going to be figured out in like 2 weeks, and Sasha Vezenkov will either be part of the Kings or he won't. But it's also possible that the Kings roster will look considerably different, where it might provide a different opportunity for Sasha.
Yeah, I also... I think for Sasha specifically, you mentioned, you know, not having any regrets about coming to the NBA. One, his season was ended by an injury. Like, that's, that sucks.
Yeah.
Like, that just, that stinks for any player, much less a guy in his first year in the NBA at 28 years old. But B, I'm sure he was sitting there on the bench watching the Kings without Malik Monk and without Kevin Huerter over the last couple weeks of the season and going, man, I could really be of service to this team.
Mm-hmm.
But like you just said, the problem is the areas or the ways where these scenarios where he's in the rotation and playing significant effective minutes, like, man, there a lot of things have to go right for that to be the case here in Sacramento. And I would understand why, you know, he wants to stay in the NBA but wants to go somewhere where, hey, you know what, maybe they don't have a ton of shooting. Maybe they need a floor spacer. Maybe it's like Orlando or Minnesota or Dallas would love to have another three-point shooter on the floor right now.
Maybe.
There are so many teams that could use a floor stretcher, and I thought he showed he's an NBA player.
Yeah.
Is he starting on a championship team? Yeah, probably not. But I think he's an NBA player. It's just, does his skill set match? We talk about this all the time. It's the correct fit versus the best player.
Mm-hmm.
Dame Lillard's a better player than Drew Holiday. But Drew Holiday was a better fit for the Bucks.
Yep.
That's at least for this year. Maybe that changes over the next couple years. But for this year, the Bucks probably would have been better off with Drew Holiday, even though Dame's a better player.
Yeah, I mean, Dame is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Drew Holiday is probably a second, third ballot Hall of Famer. He's still a Hall of Famer.
At
this point, yes. Because of the championships and because of the defensive ability, I think. I mean, he doesn't have a bunch of all-star appearances, and his stats are going to be like what they are. But
he's going to have a couple titles.
He feels
like all-defense.
Yeah, one of those players that's going to be right there.
Yeah.
And if not, if he doesn't make it, I mean, I would kind of look at him in the same way I do like Chauncey Billups.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think, again, two-way player, I think Drew's a little bit better.
Yeah.
But Chauncey Billups just made the Hall of Fame, which to me was kind of a surprise, and he made it, like, especially this early.
Felt like he had to.
I guess.
Like, it's just like an obligatory, yeah, we got to get somebody else from that Pistons team in.
I guess, but I've never been someone who believes that. So, and I want to, like, Sasha did come back and play in the last, he played seven of the last final nine games of the season after the catastrophic ankle injury.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just really tough because the Kings had, anyone remembers the last half of the season, they had no practice time at all. Again, they played on the 31st. Of March, the 2nd of April, the 4th, the 5th, the 7th, the 9th, and the 11th, the 12th, and the 14th. So, like, there's just no way for him to get a rhythm and kind of get himself back into this. Like, look, I think that, again, if this all depends on what the Kings do in the offseason,
mm-hmm.
how they're able to recreate themselves in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
I think that having a guy like Sasha that can shoot, that can play, I don't want to say multiple positions. I thought when they put him at small forward, it was a bit of a stretch. But I certainly think that if you're going to run back even the same four forwards, you just can't do it. Like, he doesn't make sense in that group. And it's not that he's a bad player. It's that the things that he does they're too similar to the things that the other guys do. And you need someone to protect him, just like you need someone to protect Trey Lyles, and you need someone to protect,
sure.
you know, Harrison Barnes.
But you can only, but that just to kind of continue that point, you can only have so many guys to protect these other guys.
Yeah.
Like, you can only have so many guys who need the perfect setting around them to thrive.
Exactly. Exactly. So having all around players is fine. Having guys that have individual skill sets, like mm-hmm. one or two skill sets,
mm-hmm.
sometimes you need a few of those to mix in. And that's why, again, I think Keon Ellis had such a huge impact on the team throughout the season. It's like, if I'm going to judge like Kevin Huerter versus Keon Ellis, I think Kevin Huerter is a better NBA basketball player. I think that Keon Ellis for some reason fits better. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say for some reason, he fits better because he plays defense and he hits 3-point shots
mm-hmm.
and Kevin, you know, sure plays defense. Hits 3-point shots, but he's mm-hmm. not the defender. And his skill set's different. I mean, he's a better passer than Keon Ellis, but mm-hmm. like the all-around game of Kevin Huerter is better, but that doesn't always matter. Sometimes you need like specific players that can help support the rest of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think the Kings almost have too many jack of all trades, master of none guys on the roster, and that can be an issue.
Yeah, man, you can have a Trey Lyles type and a Kevin Huerter type, but when you start to like, you limit your flexibility so much when you go, hey, yeah, Sasha Vezenkov can play, but he has to play very specifically this position with these four guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then when one of those guys comes out, Sasha also has to come out. And then we're going to put in this guy who has to play with these four guys. It's just not sustainable. It's not real life.
Nope.
That's not how it works in the NBA.
Yeah.
So I you know, if Sasha's here, great. If he goes somewhere else, I hope he gets a chance to play. And if he's here, I hope he gets a chance to play.
Yeah.
That's what he came here to do. It's what he wants to do. He wants to play basketball.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, the second part of what Sean put out there, he's been told that the Kings want to keep him, but there's also a market for him. Sacramento or perhaps another team that offers a larger rotational role remains to be seen. Like that piece there, like, yeah, the Kings are, they don't dislike Sasha Vezenkov.
Mm-hmm.
They understand, I think, what we understand. And I think, you know, like Mike Brown understands what we understand, that like, the just mixture of players can't be the same.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that Sasha needs to be the odd man out, but somebody has to be the odd man out because you need somebody else that has a different skill set to mix with these guys to change sort of the ingredients here.
And if Sasha was an 18-year-old or a 19-year-old, maybe this conversation's different.
Yeah.
Where, yeah, you can have him at the end of your bench. You can play some spot minutes here and there, maybe get some G League minutes where you can really help develop him so in 2 or 3 years he's a real contributor at X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is he's almost 30.
Yeah.
And you don't have a lot of time. You don't have a lot of runway there. They need guys who can contribute now. And not having Sasha contribute is just wasting years of what's going to be a relatively short NBA career.
Well, that, and I also think it's wasting his prime here as opposed to his prime in Europe. And that's something that he has to be honest in and like consider. This might not be the only situation where he finds himself watching the game of basketball from the bench and wishing that he hadn't come over to the U.S.
Yeah.
It's just, it's reality of the sport, and it's reality of you know, opportunity and seizing opportunity. And I do think he did seize opportunities when he was given a shot.
Mm-hmm.
I think he stepped up in most of the time. And there are games where it's like, oh my gosh, he's just hitting 1-3 after another.
Mm-hmm.
There are other times where you can just see like the inconsistency is due to rust, and he's just not getting in a rhythm. He's not getting an opportunity to get comfortable.
Yeah.
And that's so hard at the NBA level. If you can't get comfortable, like,
you're done.
Yeah, you are done. It's just that it takes just a little tiny bit off for you to miss a three versus make a three.
Yep.
And feeling comfortable and being in the right spot, that's something that I think just given more time, he probably could find some more success.
You said a really important thing in there that I want to get to, but I want to get to our caller first. They've been hanging in there very patiently. Don, you're on the Insiders. That's James. I'm Kyle. What's going on? Hey, Don.
This is not Don.
Oh, I'm sorry. Our call screener got it wrong. What's your name?
I'm George.
Oh, George. Sorry about that, George. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well, gentlemen. Thank you for taking the call.
Yeah, thanks for calling. What do you got?
So just a couple thoughts. One, I think you guys are completely dead on about Sasha and what his role's going to be. I think the only way he's going to get some real run is if we end up losing Monk and our rotation has to change. And then I could see a spot where he might be able to get a little more. But my real reason for calling was probably about that Trevor Lawrence contract.
Sure.
My thought was, you know who I think is probably really angry about that? It's probably Gardner Minshew. Because if you look back on these last few years, Gardner Minshew's numbers are exactly what Trevor Lawrence's numbers are, and he hasn't even started all the time, and he's definitely not getting Trevor Lawrence numbers.
No, definitely not. Thanks for the call, George. We'll be getting to that Trevor Lawrence contract shortly. Really appreciate you calling in.
All right, take care. Bye.
See you, bud.
That's hilarious.
I love. We gotta get this call screen fixed. yeah, we'll get to the Trevor Lawrence contract in a bit. The thing you said about this not being an anti-Sasha thing is something that I think we're just going to reiterate throughout the offseason. I get that people have their favorite players and their favorite guys, and they love this team, particularly the players who are around for the 22-23 season. So it was a magical year for the Kings. And there's going to be an attachment to that team, especially for younger fans. There's going to be like this attachment to that team and that group of players.
Mm-hmm.
But if the Kings are going to take this leap, the group of players has to change. There is Fox, there is Sabonis, for now there's Keegan, and there might be Malik. And beyond that, no disrespect to anybody on the roster. It is not an anti-that person, whether it's Trey Lyles or Harrison Barnes or Kevin Huerter or whoever. So it's like the Kings need to get better. That's it. That's the bottom line. That's the point of team building. If vibes was what won championships, then great. Run it back again and let's see if the vibes are going to be good. But that's not the case. And we have to figure out ways to make this team better. And that's going to mean, it's not all of them. They're not going to have 11 new players next year. But Harrison Barnes, Kevin Huerter, Sasha Vezenkov, Trey Lyles, Keon Ellis, Davion Mitchell, whoever, like, is going to be on the table in some way if the Kings think that moving that player is going to make them discernibly better and get them closer to a championship.
I absolutely agree. And to drive this point home, I would tell you that 2 years ago, the Boston Celtics lost NBA Finals. Last year, they lost in the Eastern Conference Finals. Yep. Players from last year's team, Malcolm Brogdon, very good NBA player.
Gone.
Blake Griffin, who, like, at the end of his career.
Allegedly Blake Griffin.
Yes. Marcus Smart.
Good player.
Grant Williams.
Decent player.
These are players that were on that roster. They were part of the rotation. Those three players were part of the 8-man rotation.
Mm-hmm.
Gone.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the reality. If you want to take a step forward, sometimes, even if you're the cream of the crop, you're a team that lost the NBA Finals and then lost the Eastern Conference Finals the next year, to get back to the finals and to win it all, you got to take some risks and you got to go out and you know, go get a Jrue Holiday. And that hurt. Like, they didn't like giving up Marcus Smart. They didn't like giving up Malcolm Brogdon.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of doing business. They went out and got Kristaps Porzingis. Huge gamble, because Kristaps had never been able to, like, he's a unicorn, but he's never been able to, like, win. That's never amounted to winning. So to go out and get these guys, to take these gambles, that's what it's about. And I mention this all the time. Jason Williams was a point guard on the 1998-99 Sacramento Kings for a couple of years. They had to make the move to Mike Bibby. They had to trade Corliss Williamson for Doug Christie to take the next step.
They had to trade Tyrese Halliburton.
Yes.
Like, that's recent.
That got them into the playoffs for the first time in 16 years.
That move by itself.
People can say, oh, but you gave up. But, like, no, I don't care. It changed the direction of your franchise.
Yes.
It changed the entire outcome of every season of your franchise. This is, it's just different. And so, I don't know. This is why we talk about where the Kings are and what they have to do in order to take the next step. And it probably isn't one player. It's probably not two players.
Yep.
It's probably not three players. And I'm talking rotational pieces that need to change in order for them to take the next step.
Yep. So that's it. And that's what this entire offseason is going to be about. All right, we got to get to Trevor Lawrence's contract. We'll also have keys to victory for the Celtics and, I guess, the Mavs. We'll throw the Mavs in there tonight. Game 4 of the NBA Finals is right here on ESPN 1320. Pregame starts at 4 with me and James, and then we'll hand it over to the network pregame at 4:30. We'll be back in a second on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at CDC.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.